Good morning once again, church. I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and open to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10 is where we'll be looking at this morning. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, that can be found on page 847. So Mark chapter 10, page 847 in the Pew Bible. We continue our study over the previous last 2 weeks. We have looked at what Jesus claimed about himself, what he said about himself, why he lived, and what his mission was. And this morning we began looking at what those who lived at the time of Jesus, lived in the place that Jesus lived, what they say about him. And specifically, one man in particular, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And so let's see what Scripture says about Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And once you are there, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and living Word. Hear the Word of the Lord. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Father, as we study your word, will you help us, like Bartimaeus in the story before us, to see Jesus and to follow him as he calls us to himself in the Holy Scriptures. And it's for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, this is the last healing miracle that Jesus performed before his crucifixion. He's on the way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jericho is about 15 to 20 miles from Jerusalem. And the passage tells us that Jesus passed through Jericho on his journey. And as he did, a great crowd, along with his disciples, were with him. They were following along with him. They were on their way to Jerusalem as well for the Passover. And Mark tells us that there was a beggar there, that it was a beggar sitting alongside the road. He must have been well known in the city because Mark gives us his name. And so this sort of indicates that that he would have enough significance in the area that the first-time readers would have recognized the name. They would know who Mark was referring to. And Mark tells us that this beggar that was sitting alongside the road was a blind man. He was a blind beggar. And what this would mean, what this would have meant is that that every morning Bartimaeus would have awakened and he would have gotten his cloak and he would have sort of tapped his way down to the city gates, and then he would have found a spot to sit, and he would have laid out his cloak, and then he would have begin to beg from people as they walk in and out of the city. He was completely dependent upon the what people would give him. This was his life. That was his day in and day out existence. No doubt the day that Mark is referring to, that he's writing about here, started out for Bartimaeus just like any other day. He woke up, he got his cloak, and he walked down to the city gates, and he found a place to sit, and he would sit down and think, I hope that it's going to be a good day. I hope I do well today. I hope that I make enough to live off of today. But this day, as he began to beg, he heard some commotion that was a little unusual from any other day. Before long, he senses that there's a great crowd around him, such a great following, an entourage, people who are pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And he begins to hear that the one who is creating all of this commotion is the man, Jesus. A man who certainly had a reputation. He needed no introduction. He is a man who had done many miracles, had done many healings. He was a man who had done things that had bewildered, really, the religious leaders of his day. And so undoubtedly, when people in Jericho heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing through, they wanted to go see him. They wanted to be around him. But the people of Jericho didn't really care whether or not Bartimaeus was going to get close to Jesus. I mean, after all, what difference does it make? He's blind. What difference does it make whether he's far away or near or close by Jesus? But we see in the passage that Bartimaeus really understood something about Jesus that his sighted friends missed. They completely missed. And whatever he saw changed his life forever. What this blind man understood changed his life and really can change our lives as well if we will see it. And so I want to ask this question this morning for you to think about, to reflect on as we look at this text. What did Bartimaeus see? And the first thing that comes to our attention in the text is that he saw his own true condition before Christ. He saw his own true condition before Christ. He was a man who was severely disadvantaged. Not only was he severely disadvantaged, but he knew that he was disadvantaged. He was a blind beggar. And so try to conceive this for a second. Now, everybody probably as a kid has tried to close their eyes and pretend that they were blind for a little while and walk through the house or outside and feel their way around. And so it's tough for us to conceive because even in that, you know that you peaked, right? Your own game, you cheated at your own game. You would just kind of peek a little bit so that you wouldn't run into the wall, which is smart. But try to conceive what this meant for Bartimaeus. What kind of life did he live? He had never seen a tree. He had never seen a sunset. He had never seen the faces of his friends. He had never even seen his parents, the face of his mother or dad. He had no hope in himself of ever being anything but blind. He was powerless to change his condition. He couldn't do anything to change the status of his life. He was a blind beggar. That's what he was the day before. That's what he expected to be the next day. And that was what he anticipated to be the next month. He was completely helpless and he knew it. But unlike many people who have 20/20 vision, Bartimaeus came to terms with who he was and he admitted his true condition. And this is absolutely essential. If you're going to see Jesus Christ for who he really is, you have to come to terms with what's true about yourself, what's true about you. You have to see yourself honestly before God if you want to see honestly Christ who was sent by God. John Calvin wrote to this point saying, "Nearly all wisdom we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves." There is interplay between these two. They are connected with one another. You will never understand yourself as you ought until you come to believe and understand what is true about God. And you will never understand what's true about God until you are willing to come to terms with what's true about yourself. And so Bartimaeus, he had a keen and honest understanding, self-understanding. And that's something that each one of us needs as well. We need to know who we are. And we're not blind physically. Some of us may be feeling like we're getting blind physically as we get older. But we're not blind physically, but we need to stop and ask ourselves honestly, what is my spiritual condition before God? Compared to the pure and holy God, where does that put me? What's true of me and how does God see me? Now, Scripture tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have broken God's law, and that sin has left us with a heart and an internal life that is broken. It's disoriented. And so if you just stopped and think about this, and if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit this. We have to admit that we are sinners, that things aren't completely right, if we're going to be honest. And just to give us a quiz here, don't you think of things and see things that are right and they're good, that you ought to love? You know they're good, genuine things, and you know that, I ought to love this. But really, you don't? And don't you see things that you know are not right and not good and that you shouldn't love, but you find yourselves attracted to? And don't you know of things that you would say, this is right and this is good and this ought to be done, and then you choose to do exactly the opposite? Haven't you ever done that? Of course you have. Am I the only one? Of course we have. Why is that? Because sin has corrupted us. Sin corrupts our thinking, our loves, our wills, our choices. This is what sin does. And along with that, sin also causes us to have a record in heaven. A record before God. That means when he checks his record book and he looks at it and he sees that we are guilty. According to him, the judge, in his courtroom, we are guilty. And so we are corrupt on earth and we are guilty in heaven. This is our true condition. This is our very nature. And until you come to terms with that very truth about yourself, you will never be ready to look at the truth of who Jesus is. This is what happened to Charles Colson. Colson served as under President Richard Nixon, and he was known as the hatchet man in Nixon's administration. He was famously known for saying at one point, "I would run over my grandmother for the sake of my political cause." He's not a very nice man. He was a mean man. He did damage to people's lives until God came along and apprehended Coulson and brought him to the end of himself. And Coulson tells the story of how he came to see something that he had never seen before the night that his life was completely changed, the night that his life was transformed. And that night, he says, and quote, "I was sitting alone in my car, and my sin, not just dirty politics, but the hatred and evil that was so deep within me was thrust before my eyes forcefully and painfully." And Coulson writes, "For the first time in my life, I felt unclean. And worst of all, I could not escape it. In those moments of clarity, I found myself driven irresistibly into the arms of the living God." Have you ever had a moment of clarity like that? Have you ever come face to face of who you truly are? How horrible you are? How much of a sinner you are? Where everything comes into focus, where you can't, your next words out of your mouth are that you have to admit, "God, I am broken. And I can't change myself." If you've come to that point, then you are primed and ready to hear what God has to say and what He has done for people just like us through His Son. So Bartimaeus had insight on this. He had insight on his true condition. But not only did he see that before Christ, but he also saw the true character of Christ. In verse 47, he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. We learn in Luke's account of this story that as the hustle and bustle was growing louder, Bartimaeus was going around asking, "What's going on? What's all this noise?" And he was told in response to his question, "Is Jesus of Nazareth is here." And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David. And what's he talking about there? He's heard that Jesus of Nazareth is here, and then he immediately out of his mouth is not Jesus of Nazareth, come help me out. But instead he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David." Well, Son of David is a messianic phrase. In other words, it's a term that was used in the Old Testament scriptures. And the Old Testament scriptures set forth the promise of God that God would raise up an offspring of David and establish through him the throne of his kingdom forever, an eternal kingdom. And so David's reign over Israel was really almost like a parable of peace. When you thought of the times of David and the times of this foretold son of David, it meant that there would be peace, there would be prosperity, there would be wellness that would come when the son of David would be sent into the world at a future time, at a later time. And so there was all these promises given in the Old Testament that Bartimaeus must have known about. He was aware of them. And so while we have the Jews here, Israel here, they are under the dominion of the Roman government. And so they are really looking forward to the time when this Messiah, when David's son, would come and restore his kingdom. He would sit upon his throne once again. And so Bartimaeus, he hears a bit about Jesus, he's heard the stories about Jesus, and he identifies him with the messianic prophecies. Ones like Isaiah in chapter 35, which says, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." Or maybe he was thinking of Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this messianic, future messianic person. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, hopefully this sounds a little familiar to you. This is actually the passage that Jesus reads as He's in the synagogue, and He sits down and says, "This today before you, this is fulfilled." And so Jesus Himself admits and tells them that this is me. And so when Bartimaeus says, "Son of David," he is declaring something far beyond what the priest and the Levites in Jericho would have been willing to say about Jesus. What he's saying is he believes that Jesus really is the one who is promised by God to come from God as the Savior of the world. By this title, he is expressing his belief that Jesus had the power to make things whole. He has raised the dead. He has made the lame walk. He has given sight to the blind. He has come to help the weak and the helpless. He welcomed sinners to himself, even lepers, those that no one would be around. Jesus was willing to be with them and to heal them. The outcasts felt home around him. Prostitutes were glad to be in his presence. Tax collectors, the ones that everybody hated, would know that they could go to Jesus and not be rejected by him. And so Bartimaeus, hearing these things, knowing these things, he believed these things. Though he had never laid eyes on Jesus physically, he saw him more clearly than the most of the prominent leaders in his day. Because he heard and he believed the Old Testament prophecies, and then he applied them to Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus, by calling out for mercy from Jesus, Son of David, is expressing the confidence that he has that Jesus is both willing and able to come and to do for him what he is so desperately needed. He believes Jesus is willing and able, and that's crucial for everyone to believe who is going to be helped by Jesus. If we want Jesus' help, we have to believe that he is both willing and able. I mean, think about this. If you believe that he is able but unwilling, you're not really going to go to him, are you? You're not going to ask him for help. This is more actually of a feature of a tyrant, that he's someone who has to be convinced against his will. You have to sort of bargain with him to get him to do what he doesn't want to do. And so if you believe that Jesus is willing but unable, then why ask him for help if he can't do anything about it? Oh, he wants to help you. He wants to. He just can't. There has to be an understanding of Jesus' ability and his willingness, of his power and his pity, his might and his mercy, both in one person. And Bartimaeus had that. And so he was determined to ask this man for help that he desperately needed. And Jesus is willing and able. He's demonstrated that in the pages of the New Testament. We've seen it all through the New Testament. We see it throughout history. We see it in our own testimonies of those here gathered here today, those who would gladly, proudly stand up and say, "Yes, this is all true. I was once lost. I was at my wit's end. I had no hope in the world. And I found in Jesus a Savior, a Lord, a Master, who was not only able to save me, but he was willing to save me." This is the only hope that people like you and me have. Because if we believe the truth about ourselves, we see ourselves, and we see that Jesus in all of his ability, that Jesus is willing and that he is able to raise the dead, heal the sick, reconcile with God. But if we think that he is not willing, then he does us no good. That he has the power, but he's just not willing. He does us no good. If we think that he's willing, but his hands are tied for some reason, they're tied behind his back to where he can't do so, then once again, he cannot do us any good. But if you see that he is both willing and able, both powerful and full of pity, then you will go to him. You will ask him to come and help. This is the basis of those who have come to know the truth about Jesus Christ. This is why we encourage others to come to him, because we know that Christ is both willing and able. That we can say to anybody, no matter their background, no matter their circumstance, that where they've been, what they've done, what they haven't done, we can say to them, come to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Look to Jesus, because he is able to enter into your life no matter your circumstances and rescue you. He has the power to do it because he has conquered death. He is willing to do it because he is full of love and compassion. We sing about this. We sung about this morning. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able. He is willing. We don't need to doubt anymore. And so do you believe that Jesus is full of pity, love, and power? Do you see him as being willing and able to help you? Do you believe that? If you believe that, why would you not go to him? What would keep you from trusting in him right now? Why wouldn't you call out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you right now. And look to him from the heart, seek him and ask him to come into your life and transform you. If you would see what blind Bartimaeus saw, you would believe that Jesus is the miracle-working Savior who delights to show mercy to people who know that they need mercy. And if you've never trusted in Jesus before, take to heart this truth. Trust in him now. Venture your life on him now. Bow to him now and call him Lord. He is willing and able to remove your sin. He is willing and able to forgive you of your sin, to clear your record in heaven and give you a new heart. He is willing and able to transform your life. In church, believers, brothers and sisters, if you have trusted in Christ, you did it this way. When you first came to Christ, we had to believe he was willing and able to save us, right? We had to believe this was true. Otherwise, we would not have come to him. You would have never trusted Jesus if you didn't already believe this. But do you find yourself still struggling with it? Do you find yourself in your Christian life coming to those moments, those seasons where you begin to doubt that he is willing, that you begin to doubt that he is able, that you go through certain circumstances and trials and then you look at the obstacles in your life and you look at all your needs and you finally just throw up your hands and you say, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's any hope of this ever changing. This is just the way it's always going to be. I don't think this will ever go away. I don't think that I will ever be different. I don't think that these things can be removed. But
the Lord Jesus, who was sovereignly able and mercifully willing to come and rescue you, when you entrusted your soul to him, he is just as willing and able now to come to you in your life and strengthen you and to help you in whatever your circumstance is. You just have to cry out to him. He is there just like he was for Bartimaeus that very day. What do you need me? What do you want from me? Whatever you need, whatever your circumstances, he is willing, he is able, he is sovereign. And this is why a hopeless Christian is a contradiction of terms. Hopeless Christian is a contradiction of terms. When we fall as Christians in hopelessness and we get discouraged and we are downhearted, it's because we lose sight of who Jesus is. We lose sight of who he really is and what we desperately need. And what we desperately need is actually to see what blind Bartimaeus saw. We need to look again at Christ and see him as our powerful and gracious and merciful Savior. So that's the second thing that Bartimaeus saw. He saw the true character of Christ. But there is a third thing. He saw the need to keep pleading for mercy. He begins in verse 47 and he continues it in verse 48. He began to shout, asking, begging Jesus to help him. I mean, after all, he knew how to beg. He was a professional. And seeing what he saw in Christ, seeing what he saw in himself, he was determined not to be turned away. And so he kept shouting and pleading with Jesus, even after others discouraged him. Verse 48 tells us that the people actually turned on Bartimaeus. They told him to be silent, to be quiet. They rebuked him. And so the crowds obviously believed that Bartimaeus was just a distraction. Really, he's unworthy to have Jesus' attention. The crowds and the disciples are all following behind Jesus, but they have no time for the weak and the small and the unimportant. And they really think that Jesus ought not either. But Bartimaeus, he would not be silenced. He would not take no for an answer. The text says that he cried out all the more. So they're telling him to be quiet. They're rebuking him, trying to silence him. And that just made him scream out more. He cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." Despite the fact that he wasn't being answered immediately, he didn't stop. He kept on. And so you have this picture here of someone that has a desperate need. He's desperate because he knows himself. And he knows the help that is available. And so he's determined. He's going in desperation. And he's going to plead until that which he needs is his. Bartimaeus was either going to be helped by Jesus, or he was going to spend every last bit of energy he had seeking that help. Because he knew what he needed. He knew that Jesus was able and willing to provide it. And so I wonder, as we reflect on our own lives, as we look at ourselves, do we see ourselves that deeply? Do we see Jesus that deeply so that we feel our desperation that intently? If you saw what Bartimaeus saw, then you will go to Jesus and you will say, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. On me, despite all the opposition, despite all the temptations to quit, despite the silence from heaven, right? When God seems so distant, like he doesn't care, like he's even non-existent, that he's maybe not interested in you, despite all of that, it doesn't matter. You know your condition, And you know that he is willing and able. And so you know the truth about Jesus. You see him and you see yourself. And there you are going to cry out to him, "Have mercy on me." And you will not stop until he hears you and gives you what you desperately need. The good news is Jesus loves for people to seek him in that way. Jesus delights in showing mercy to people who know themselves to be in desperate need of it. So Bartimaeus saw his true condition before Christ. He saw the true character of Christ. And he saw the need to keep pleading for mercy from Christ. But then finally, he saw the wisdom of obeying the call of Christ. Jesus demolishes everyone's expectation and he stops as he hears Bartimaeus' cry and he calls him. So Jesus is going through the crowd. He has his disciples with him. He has a crowd with him. You can imagine just the everything is congested and shoulder to shoulder. And as he's making his way to the city through Jericho, he hears Bartimaeus' pleading for him. He hears Bartimaeus' cry. And so Jesus calls him. Verse 49 says, "They called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.'" So as the people around Jesus, they say to Bartimaeus, he hears you. Go ahead and get up and go to him. He's calling you. This must have been music to Bartimaeus' ears. You kind of probably think that he was taken back a little bit by it. Because he's just pleading over and over again. Then all of a sudden they're like, "Okay, he heard you. Go to him." It's like, what, me? He's calling me? They're like, "Yes, Jesus, the one you've been calling is now calling you." The scripture doesn't show that he took a moment to doubt the sincerity of this call or anything like that. There wasn't any reason in his mind where he's like, "Well, you know, it's probably just somebody else that he's calling. Somebody else could probably get help from Jesus, but not me." No, he took Jesus at his word. He obeyed Jesus' call. He didn't try to figure it out. He didn't wait until he had all things figured, oriented, where he was just like, "You know, I just need to make these few changes and then I'll come to Jesus." No, the text told us that he sprang up. He jumped up. He immediately went, and when he realized this one who could call him, or that could help him, was calling him, was full of grace and full of power, is now inviting him to come. He threw aside his coat. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He spoke directly and freely to Jesus about his sense of need. And he specifically stated his request to Jesus, and he did. Verse 52 says, he did all of this in faith. In faith. That moment, Bartimaeus became a follower of Christ. He responded to Jesus in faith. He became a disciple of Jesus. Verse 52 says, Jesus said to him, "Go ahead, go your way." And then notice the text says that he followed Jesus on the way. And so Bartimaeus responded to Jesus, responded to Christ's call, told him his need. Jesus gave him his need and told him to go on his way. But now we see that Bartimaeus' way is Jesus' way. He follows Jesus. He began to follow Jesus because he heeded the call of Jesus. He left his friends. He left his home. He left his former way of life, no matter the cost. He didn't care. He determined that this man is worthy of my trust. This man is worthy of me to follow.
Helen Keller was born blind and deaf. One day somebody asked her, after she learned to speak and communicate, they said, "Isn't it terrible to be blind?" And she answered this way, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." What do you see this morning? What do you see about yourself? What do you see about Jesus? What do you see about your need to go to Him as your only hope in life and death? What do you see about His call, His invitation to you? He is inviting you now. He is calling you, asking you, "What do you need from me?" May God help every one of us here to see what the blind Bartimaeus saw and to come to experience the life that was given to him through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for giving us your word. We ask that you open our understanding, the eyes of our hearts to see what Bartimaeus saw. Reveal Jesus to us. Give us life. Meet our needs. There are needs in every seat here this morning. And so, Father, help us to run to Jesus, to seek Him to satisfy all of our needs. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.